Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bamidbar. This week, Neiman Novitzki discusses Bamidbar. Neiman Novitzki is a faculty member for Pardes. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neiman Novitzki.
Thank you, Larry. This Shabbat, we're starting a new Sefer, Sefer Bamidbar. Many have pointed out that each Sefer of the Torah has its own unique character, its own unique contents and themes. Bereshit is the book of Yetzirah, the book of creation. Shemot, the book of Galut and Gula, of exile and redemption. So what is Bamidbar all about? Its name, though it was chosen for technical reasons, since it's the first word of the book, does capture a lot of the content of the book. For the book takes us from Bnei Yisrael's second year from leaving Egypt all the way to the 40th year. Those 38 years, of course, take place in the desert. And so it's an appropriate name. But obviously, the Torah doesn't tell us everything that happened in those 38 years. And the question rises, the choices that the Torah made as to what to tell, what happened in those years in the Midbar, what is their purpose? What's the main message we're supposed to get out? Various mefarshim, various commentators, have written introductions to the book in which they try to say what they think is the main theme of the book. Let's compare a couple just to get a sense of the different directions that people go in. Ramban Nachmanides writes that the entire purpose of the book, after describing the setup of the camp and the filling in details that have to do with sort of odds and ends that hadn't been mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, that deal with the Mishkan, the rest of the book, he says, tells us about Bnei Yisrael's time in the Midbar and what's the purpose of the things that it chooses to tell, l'saper kol ma'asei Hashem, asher asai mehem lahafli. The book wants to share with us all of the deeds of God that he did with us in wondrous ways. And he goes on to give examples of all the miracles and all the wonderful things that God did for us in the Midbar. For Ramban, then, the book of the Midbar has a focus on the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Israel in the desert. Abarbanel, in contrast, reads a slightly different Sefer Bimidbar. He writes, Baha Sefer Harvi, this fourth book, comes, L'saper Seder Hanhagat Ha'am, comes to tell us about the leadership of the nation. And he continues and he points out that there are 10 parshiot, L'hagid Eichaita Hanhagat Moshe Rabbeinu Alaf HaShalom Ta'am Biotam Bamidbar, to teach us in what way Moshe led the people as they were in the desert. In contrast to the Ramban, Abarbanel sees the book not about the relationship between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, but rather about Moshe and the nation. It's a book about leadership and about the interaction between the nation and its head. The Netziv Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, interestingly, to some extent, combines the two approaches. He tells us that what is this book about? Ikar Zeh HaSefer, the essence of this book is HaMachlif U'Mishaneh HaLichot Im Hashem V'Chayei HaOlam Min HaDerach She'Halchu BaMidbar. The book is coming to teach us about the changing ways in which God relates to the world. SheBaMidbar Hayu Minahagim B'Midat Tiferet Shalach Li'Min Moshe Shehu L'Gamrei L'Malam HaLichot HaTeva. In the Midbar, the people lived a supernatural life. U'Be'Eretz Yisrael HaLchu BaDerach HaTeva. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, they start to live a natural life. He sees the book as this transition from nes to teva, from miracle to nature, from the hand of God in everything to the hand of humans, to the hand of nature. And to some extent, thus, is a combination or perhaps a compromised position between Ramban and Abarbanel. I think the two approaches of seeing this as either the hand of God, a book about God's miracles, about God's relationship with the nation, versus the emphasis on being Moshe's relationship with the nation, is a theme that actually comes up again and again in different ways of looking at various events in the Midbar. I wanted to move from this introduction into a question that comes out about some of the main content of our parsha specifically. And we'll see how, again, some of these two differences that we saw as how to approach the entire book might also affect how we approach some of the specific questions of the Parsha and later Parshiot. Bimidbar is not a very exciting Parsha in the sense that we have four chapters worth of censuses. The people are counted, they're subdivided, the Levium are counted, and we're told about the way that they were set up around the camp. No narrative. The command that opens the parsha, telling B'nai Israel to be counted, or telling Moshe to count the nation, raises an interesting question. Let me read the pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai ba'ol moed ba'achad l'chodesh hasheni b'shana hashenit l'sitam eret Mitzrayim. God speaks to Moshe in the second month of the second year. Se'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Israel. He tells him, count b'nei Israel l'mishpachotam l'beit avotam, by family, by father's house, b'mispar shemot kol zachar l'gugulotam, according to the number of names, each man by his head. It continues to tell you that these are going to be from 20 years and up, all those that are eligible to go to war. If we contrast this command with a command that we got earlier, back in Sefer Shemot, during an earlier census, we see a contradiction that arises. In Sefer Shemot it says, Ki tisat rosh b'nei Israel, when you want to count b'nei Israel, v'natnu ish kofer nafsho l'Hashem b'fkodotam, they must give a redemption of their soul, v'lo iya behem negev, so as to avert a plague. Ze yitnu kol hovel ha'pikudim, what do they have to give? Machatzit ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh, everyone should give a half a shekel coin. According to Sefer Shemot, it sounds like anytime you want to count the nation, they have to be counted by giving a half a shekel coin. Yet, when you look in Sefer B'midbar, the pasuk that I had just quoted, there's no mention of a half shekel coin. In contrast, it seems to be saying explicitly, you should count them by name. No coin involved. So how do we understand the two sets of psukim together? Rashi gives a somewhat simple answer. He says, when it says legugulotam, according to their heads, what does it mean? Ayadei shkalim, vaya shkalim. Even though the shkalim aren't mentioned, what does it mean here? You should do so vaya shkalim. Abarbanel, in contrast, says, ukfar perashti b'seder kitisa, shelo haita ha-mitzvah ha-hi mi-machatit ha-shekel, she'inu b'et ha-minyan mitzvah l'dorot. Abarbanel says, you read Parshat Kitisa wrong. Parshat Kitisa was not a mitzvah l'dorot, was not a mitzvah for future generations. It was a one-time command. When they count them in Shemot, they had to give a machatit ha-shekel. In the future, this is a suggestion, but not a command. He says, that's an itza nechona, proper advice, shekasher yitzelim notita amidato, if one decides by himself to count the nation, sheyasechin aidekach, that he should do so via the machatzit ha-shekel. But if the reason you're counting the nation is not just because you decided to do so, but because it's a command of God, well, then you don't have to worry about a plague, and thus you don't have to worry about giving it by counting according to machatzit ha-shekel, half shekel coins. I think we have to ask, one, for the Abarbanel, is there something different about Shemot when you needed a machatzit ha-shekel? And two, for Rashi, if we are doing it via the machatzit ha-shekel, then why is it not mentioned in B'midbar? To answer Abarbanel might be easy. Back in Shemot, when we were counting the nation, they used the machatzit ha-shekel in order to build the Mishkan. And so perhaps Dafka, a census that's being done right before the building of the Mishkan, you combine the two. Let's give a machatzit ha-shekel. It has a practical use as well. In the future, it's good advice, but not necessary. In order to answer the question on Rashi, why isn't it mentioned if it was done, I think we might want to go and ask a couple of other questions first. One, what are we counting the nation for in B'midbar? And two, what's the difference anyway, whether you count by name, by number, or by object? So why are we counting the nation here? Rashbam gives, I think, the pshat, practical, simple answer. He says, Su et rosh kol adat b'nei Israel, l'fi shema'ata tzrichim l'lecha d'arj Yisrael, u'b'nei Yisrim ru'im l'tzeit b'tzava ha-melchama. He says, why are we counting the nation now? Because right now we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, and we need to know how many people we have in our army. One would similarly explain the next parsha that comes up right afterwards when we have a description of the machanev, the camp setup of Bnei Israel. Why are we set up in that way? Strategically, for military reasons. Interestingly, Rashi is not satisfied with that answer. Even though it seems to be the simple, correct answer in the psukim, it even says, kol yotzei tzava, that we're counting all those who are going out to battle. Rashi is apparently bothered by two things. One, we've recently counted the people. The last census was just about 6 months ago. So if so, why do you need to count them again? Secondly, there's a lot of detail, lots of press space that is given to our story. And he wonders, why is that all necessary if the point is just to go and count the nation? So say they counted the nation and this is what it amounted to. You don't need four chapters worth of details if it was just a practical military census. So instead, he gives a different answer. Because of God's love for the nation, he counts them all the time. When they left Egypt, he counted them. He counted them. When they died after the sin of the eagle, he counted them. Every time that there's a trauma, that something negative happens to Bnei Israel, God counts them. Why? Like a mom who wants to make sure all her kids are there after, God forbid, being at a terrorist attack, she quickly counts them. Everyone's here? Good. God too. How many people are left? He says, and in our case, what happened? Here too, not something negative, but when there's also a joyous occasion. God's coming to bring his presence after the building of the Mishkan. He's coming to reside in the Mishkan. So here too, he counts them yet again. It's all about God's love for the nation. One would read the setup of the Mishkan in a similar way. Ramban, in his introduction, actually points out the setup of the Mishkan was in such a way as to reenact Har Sinai. Having Hashem come into the Mishkan was supposed to be a repetition of having Hashem come down on Har Sinai. And so the census, the setup of the Mishkan is not for military practical purposes, but all has to do with God's love, God's relationship with Israel. Of course, this, going back to our introduction, reflects the two different ways that people tend to view the events in Sefer Bamidbar. Is it about leadership? Is it about politics? About Moshe's relationship with the nation? About how to go to war? About things that have to do with the human realm? Or is it all about God's relationship with the nation? And if so, depending on which one we take, does it matter whether we say that they counted via machatzit shekel or whether they counted heads? What's the difference? So interestingly, the one choice of how to count, by object or by name, that doesn't come up is perhaps by number. Why don't we just say they counted them 1, 2, 3, 4? So in a post-Holocaust era, I don't think anyone's surprised. I read a section from Survival in Auschwitz by Primo Levi that talks about why you wouldn't count by number. He's no 18. He's not called anything except that. 0, 18. The last three numbers of his entry number, as if everyone was aware that only man is worthy of a name, and that Null 18 is no longer a man. I think that even he has forgotten his name. Certainly he acts if this was so. God never commands us to count just by number, because if you count by number, you are a number. You're not a person. But if so, even so, why count by name? Or why count by object? What's the difference between the two? So I think counting by name gives everyone a name, an importance. The way Ramban words it, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'notam b'chavod b'gdula. Go and count them with honor and greatness. L'kol achad v'achad. Count each person. Don't say to the Rosh Mishpacha, to the head of the family, how many people are in your family? How many children do you have? Every single one passed by, and you count them. And he continues on, and anyone who would then get counted passed by Moshe, the father of the prophets, and he becomes known to him by name. With this, he has merit and life. The Ramban points out an important factor. What happens when you count someone by name? When you count someone by name, you tell that person you're important. God commands us in Bamidbar that everyone should go before Moshe. Moshe should see everyone. He shouldn't just say to a family member, how many other people in your family? Because then they're a group. Moshe wants to count every single person, that he should see them, he should call them by name. There's something in a name that gives you significance. Well, what about counting by object? Counting by object does the exact opposite. It takes away your individuality. It makes you part of a group, because when Moshe counts all the shkalim, he doesn't know which shekel belongs to which person. All he knows is the number he gets at the end. The Tzvor HaMor back on Sefer Shmot and Parshat Ki Tisah that we read before says, what's the point? To show you, Nefesh HaAshir v'Nefesh HaAni Shavot Eslo Berkan. Everyone gives the same amount, whether you're rich or poor. Why? To show that the soul of the rich and the soul of the poor is all equal before God. Counting by via Machatzit HaShekel has an equalizing effect. Everyone is equal to each other. Everyone's giving the same thing. Everyone's counted in the same way. Not one person before another, not one person after another. Everyone is part of that klal, of that unit. Rabbeinu Bache actually points out another interesting facet of being counted by object rather by individuality. What does he say? V'natnu ish kofer nafsho bifkodotam. He says, why do you have to go count by object? So that there wouldn't be a plague. But why should there be a plague? The pasuk revealed to you that a nation who is individualized in its counting, when you're seen as an individual, then God looks at you as an individual and he sees all of your negatives and all of your positives. Not so if you're included in a group. He says there's a danger in God seeing you as an individual. Because yes, there's a positive part of you, but then all of your negatives get highlighted. Whereas if we put into a group, God sees us as a nation as a whole, and not individuals who he's going to go and punish or reward each one individually. As a nation, we're promised to exist. So I think that when one compares the two methods of counting, whether you count by name or whether you count by object, basically what you get to is the balance or the tension between the individual and the klal and the group. And perhaps for different types of reasons of counting, you might choose one or the other. You might say, for this purpose, I want to see you as individuals. For that purpose, I want to see you as a group. But I think that perhaps more than that, what the Torah is emphasizing is that actually both are important. According to Rashi, the pasuk only mentioned name, yet we were actually also counted via object. And I think the point is because you need to be counted by both name and object. We need to be seen as individuals. We need to be known by name. Each person is supposed to get his own attention, both in the realm of God's relationship with me and Moshe's relationship with me. The two themes of Sefer B'Midbar, relationship with whether it be God or Moshe, I need to be seen as me. God needs to give me my own importance, my own significance. But I also need to be part of the group. And again, on the two levels. Moshe is reacting to a nation. He's not just reacting to individuals. God is relating with a nation, not just individuals. And I never can lose sight, and I must never lose sight, of my role both as an individual and as part of the group. And I think that that perhaps is the most important lesson to be learned from this Mifkat. I want to end with one last source that puts it together a little bit in a nice way. The Psikta Rabbateya Midrash on the Pasuk of Kitisat Rosh B'nai Yisrael does a certain play on words in the Pasuk. He says, Anu motzim b'harbei mekomot sheba kadosh baruch hu amar l'moshe se'u et rosh. We find in many places that God said to Moshe, count the head, right? Kitisat Rosh B'nai Yisrael, when you count the head of B'nai Yisrael. What does it mean to count the head of B'nai Yisrael? Kitisat Rosh, v'lamakein, why word it like that? What does that mean? Ella, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. But God said to Moshe, Kol ma she'ata yachol l'romem et ha'umah hazot romemah. Whatever you could do to raise this nation, raise it up. Why? She'ki'ilu li'ata romem. Because when you do so, it's as if you raise me up. Ki tisa b'nei Yisrael ein k'tiv kan. It doesn't say to raise up b'nei Yisrael. What does it say? At Rosh. Their heads. The Ein Rosham She Yisrael Ala Kadosh Baruch Hu. Who is the Rosh of Bnei Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you count the head of Bnei Yisrael, when you count Bnei Yisrael, what are you in fact doing? Counting the head of Bnei Yisrael, counting God. What does this mean? What does it have to do with what we were talking about? I think that part of what the Midrash is trying to say is that when you count Bnei Yisrael, whether you're counting them individually, whether you're counting them as a group, when they count, when you recognize that they're worth something, and again, in both roles, then what happens? You actually raise up God because you're raising up the nation. When we count, then God, who's in charge of us, counts as well. And so when we have a relationship with our leaders, when we have a relationship with Hashem, when they have a relationship with us, when God counts us because of his love for us, when Moshe counts us and makes sure that every single person passes by him, there's that relationship. And that relationship raises not just us, but God as well. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Neema. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.